Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Long-Term Care RD podcast presented to you by longtermcarerd.com. I'm Michelle, your host and presenter of today's episode. So today is going to be a little bit all over the place simply because for those of you who listen, you know it has been a minute since I've posted a new podcast episode. Really, it's been probably a month, month and a half, something like that. And I just wanted to come on first and explain what's going on with Long-Term Care RD. As you know, the name of this podcast has changed. It went from the Older Adult to Geriatric Nutrition Answers podcast to Long-Term Care RD. Now, the reason for this is that there's just been a bit of a rebrand on longtermcarerd.com. I'm really looking at unifying it across the board so that the podcast, the website, the material, everything that comes out, it's all under one umbrella and it's easier for people to find and it makes sense. This podcast, it's for long-term care dietitians. It's for clinical dietitians that work with the older adult population. It's for clinical dietitians in general because I do talk about clinical nutrition issues like I'm going to today that are not just specific to long-term care, but it is specific to clinical nutrition and how to manage various health conditions. So if you do try to search for this podcast in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to it, it's going to be under Long-Term Care RD, just for consistency across the brand. There has been a lot of changes with Long-Term Care RD, and I'm just going to be transparent with a lot of stuff that's going on, very exciting stuff, especially for the website. So if you are on our email subscription list, which is a great list to be a part of, you're emailed at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, on the new stuff that's coming out, new freebies, discount codes, all these kind of things. And you can sign up on the website, which I'll link in the show notes that you can just click on and it'll take you to the sign up. But there's been a lot of exciting things going on. And one of those things that the email list is well aware of is that we are launching a membership site. And I talked about this a while ago, and it's just taken some time to figure out exactly what the subscribers want. So what you guys want in a membership site. And that's really dictated the direction that the membership site is going in. So thank you to everybody that filled out the survey. That was really helpful for me. The last thing that I wanted to do was create a membership site and it wasn't what you guys were looking for. That would have been like worst case scenario. Because everything that I try to do on the website with the articles, with the resources that come out, with the ebooks, courses, all this kind of stuff, is I really try to make it what you're looking for and what's going to help you in practice. So the biggest thing that was requested for the membership site was evidence summaries. So you guys wanted just a couple page document that laid out exactly what a health condition was, how it affected a patient's nutrition, nutrition interventions that you should be following, what to try, all that kind of stuff, so that you didn't have to go scour the internet trying to figure out how do I manage this patient's health condition? What are the current clinical recommendations? So that is one of the biggest things that's going to be a part of the membership site. Another thing which really surprised me was handouts were something that you guys were really looking for. So handouts, posters, things that you can give to staff in your facility, as well as things you can give the loved ones to help educate them more on the variety of topics that were laid out in the survey that I sent out. So that was really interesting that that's what you guys were largely looking for. I also gave two options for educational webinars, courses, that kind of thing that could be on the membership site. The majority of people want those shorter ones where it's 10 to 20 minutes laying out exactly how to manage chronic conditions, laying out exactly how to chart, laying out exactly how to prepare for a survey, all those kind of things. And then there is an option where we're going to do some longer form videos that are about 30 to 60 minutes, depending on the topic. And those will be specific to the topic that I'm going to be covering in that section of the membership site. So something like pressure injuries, Sure, I can do a shorter one, but there is actually a longer one available already in our shop that you can have access to. And pressure injuries is such a big topic, and the nutrition considerations and evidence is so massive that it takes more than 10 to 20 minutes to cover it, especially if I feel I want you to be competent in treating pressure injuries when you walk away from that webinar. So that is one that's going to be in the longer topic. Something like diabetes in long-term care and in the elderly, that can kind of be a shorter one because we try our best, obviously, to liberalize diets, so we don't want those strict controls in place. So something like that would probably be a shorter webinar. So all of that is really exciting. And also, secondly, with the membership website, I actually hired somebody to help with the membership website. So I'm very excited just to see all of the interaction that you guys gave in terms of what you wanted to see in the membership website, the wait list, all these kind of things. So thank you to everybody. I have felt strongly for the last 3 years since I started Long-Term Care RD that a membership website was really needed. But I really needed to connect with you guys, my audience. I really wanted to determine what it was that you guys wanted. And so I've kind of sat back over the last 3 years, unsure if a membership site was the right option, all the while kind of knowing that it was. I just wanted to make sure that the timing was right for it. Especially for those new long-term care dietitians or people that haven't practiced in long-term care, whether it's they took a break from their careers or they're switching to get a better work-life balance, so they're moving into long-term care, but they've been a dietitian for a long time. The education to get into long-term care, people think there is this weird misconception that long-term care is a boring job. And there's nothing more inaccurate than that statement. And I've heard that, and I'm sure I uttered that in my internship or somewhere over a decade ago. Long-term care is one of the most complex fields that you can work in dietetics, because your patients, more often than not, have some level of cognitive impairment, and so they aren't able to always vocalize what they want, what they need, how they're feeling. They have a lifetime of diagnoses, health conditions that you have to take into account when you're building a nutrition care plan. They have, more often than not, again, 10 to 15 medications that they're taking on a daily or weekly basis that you have to consider the nutrition side effect of those. You also have a lot of like family dynamics that are going on. Sometimes the patient wants something different than the family's comfortable with. It's the power of attorney issues. So it is a very complex field to get into. And a lot of people don't understand that. But I do hear that from a lot of new dietitians that are coming into long-term care. And not only that, but the job in and of itself is huge. And so it's really important to get that new training. And so that's what the membership site is also going to appeal to, is people that need that help, because quality of life is weighed heavily when we're making nutrition care plans in long-term care. So I just want it to be a space where long-term care dietitians, you can come into this membership site. We will have clusters of topics. So let's say we'll have dysphagia, we'll have dementia, we'll have pressure injuries, we'll have chronic kidney disease. We'll have a full new training course for long-term care dietitians where it walks you through A to Z how to do your job, MDS, care planning, how to chart properly, ADIME, SOAP format. All of these topics are going to be within the Long-Term Care RD membership site. You simply click on the topic that you want to see. There's going to be evidence summaries. There's going to be handouts for staff and loved one. And there's going to be a webinar, whether it's the short version, the longer version. We're going to have a policy and procedure manual. So this is all going to be on the membership side. So it is so exciting to finally start seeing these pieces come together, because it's so much work to put this all together. It's basically like trying to build a textbook, put it on a membership site, but change all of it, because textbooks don't work in long-term care. We have to talk about the actual applicable information that you can use in your practice. That's been my biggest goal with Long-Term Care RD, was making information for dietitians by a dietitian that's actually practiced in the area. So all of that to say, I'm very excited, and you're going to continually be hearing, I'm going to get back into the regular once a week podcasting publication. It usually comes out on Monday, and I think I'm going to stick with that schedule. You're going to be hearing more about it. there will be a waitlist coming up, and you'll hear more about the pricing, the formatting. That was another thing that people really talked about in the survey, was that they wanted the 12-month option with a discount. So what I'm looking at doing is, you can do either month by month where you can cancel at any time, no questions asked, or you can sign up for the year package, and that will come with a pretty significant discount if you do that. One thing I do want to talk about, just in terms of like the pricing structure, all of that kind of stuff, is that there are some workplaces that will reimburse, let's say, a portion of your membership, or, you know, maybe the whole thing if you're lucky. And a lot of things that I want to emphasize here is that there is so much value I'm putting into this membership site. I'm not just doing this to make money. I'm doing this because when I've been in long-term care, if I had had access to something like this, this would have been so incredibly useful to me. I would have loved every day coming into my office and being able to just quickly log on to somewhere, look at the current recommendations and being like, okay, perfect, I'm going to go with that. Instead of having to try to seek out the answers all the time by myself, or even just getting some great ideas from another perspective, from another dietitian. More often than not, dietitians are the only ones that work in long-term care, like in one facility, you're by yourself. And that can be really difficult because sometimes you just want to bounce your care plan idea off somebody or ask a question. And so that's an aspect that we're also looking at for the membership site, is can we find a way to do a membership forum or kind of a chat area where people can ask their questions and get great feedback from each other. So I'm not sure if that part's going to be in the initial rollout, but I'm still talking to the developers about how we can implement something like that. But even if you're a part of the membership site, you can reach out to me because I am accessible to you on the membership site. I'm obviously, anybody that's contacted me will know, sorry about the raspy voice, anybody that's contacted me will know I'm always open to answering questions and you can bounce your ideas off of me. But the membership site will just have that kind of premium access where, you know, you can contact me and I'll get back to you really quickly. Right now, I try to get back to people as quickly as I can, but sometimes it's not always in my schedule for the week, so it takes me a little bit of time to get back to you. But I just really want to tell you, like, the value is there. I am pouring my heart and soul into building this membership site. It's a lot of work, but it's so valuable, and I want to make sure that the value is there for you as well. So you can plant the bug in your workplace's ear. They pay for education. There is an allotment of education budget in every long-term care home's budget. And they spend a lot of money sending nursing, sending healthcare aides, occupational therapists, the management team. They send all of these people to these events. And trust me, these events are expensive. I've been to a lot of them. So asking them for you to have access to a long-term care membership site that has all the educational material you need, it has somebody available that can talk to you when you need help with this. It can help you better prepare for getting audited. It can help you be better prepared to treat malnutrition, to treat pressure injuries, because the resources that you need are all in one place. I promise you, management is open to things like this. They may shoot you down at first. Obviously, you'll have to wait until I put out the whole pricing structure, but they do have the budget, and to ask them to spend, like, I don't know what it'll be, but let's just say $200, for example, for a whole year access to something like this, I promise that they're more open to it than you think. I know when I worked in long-term care, I asked for multiple manuals to be purchased. So I went with the National Pressure Injury Association panel. I went with their guide, and that was a few hundred dollars. I asked for a policy and procedure manual to be purchased, and that was a few hundred dollars. I can't say that I found the policy and procedure manual that I purchased super useful, but it was still a good manual to have on hand. But I'm just saying, you know, my workplace had allotted over $500 for an education budget for me, and I was able to include things like these manuals. So I know that was a long preamble, but I just really wanted to give you guys a great idea of what the membership site's going to look like, and I am so excited. So here's your action plan. If you want to get on the waitlist, you can send me an email and just say, I want to be on the waitlist. There's already quite a few people on it. If you sign up and you're on the waitlist, you will get access to the discount pricing that's going to be that early bird, the people that are, you know, the first ones to the membership site. You're going to get a discount. So make sure that you sign up for that email list. You can get in touch with me at info@longtermcarerd.com. I will put that in the show notes, my email address, or longtermcarerd@gmail.com. I have two emails going, so it's kind of confusing, but you can always get in touch with me. So be sure to send me an email and let me know that you want to be on the membership waitlist. I'm so excited, and I'm hoping it will launch within the next month or two. I'm really working my butt off trying to get everything set up for you guys. But now to get into today's episode topic. So the last episode I did was on what to do when nutrition interventions stop working in patients with dementia, or specifically just in general. But today I want to do an episode on why nutrition interventions stop working in patients with dementia. Now, this is a tricky topic because there is so many areas that fall within a dementia topic. And so it's kind of tough to really talk about everything. And so when people ask me to do something on dementia, I always want to give a caveat that every person who has dementia, their symptoms are going to look different. So dementia is a progressive condition and it affects cognitive function, which affects daily living activities, especially nutrition. Now, as dementia progresses, we see their nutritional needs and the challenges with eating, it changes. And so as the dietitian, you're going to be adapting to these changing nutrition effects. So dietitians that work with people who have dementia, they need to understand that these changes, they are progressive in nature, they are constantly evolving. So it's not necessarily that nutrition interventions stop working and we need to give up. It's that we need to change course. Now, if you've ever worked with patients with dementia, you know that there's early, middle, and late stages. I believe there's 6 or 7 stages within dementia. And so in the early stages of dementia, we don't actually see that many nutrition issues coming about. We really don't see too many issues coming about. And so people are more often than not diagnosed in the middle to late stages of dementia because that's where we start to see the real cognitive decline or the real impacts happening. In the early stages of dementia, a lot of people, let's say, they'll forget their keys, or in long-term care, they might forget where their room is, and you just kind of chalk it up to, well, they're aging. And in the early stages of dementia, we really don't see that many nutrition issues happening either. And so a lot of healthcare professionals, we don't notice it early on. It's when it starts moving into that middle to late that we really start to see some impacts happening. So there's many different cases or types of dementia, and this includes Alzheimer's disease, vascular dementia, Lewy body dementia, and they all show up differently. They're not the same. If you've ever treated a patient who has vascular dementia versus Lewy body dementia, they're very different. We do see some levels of physical aggression in, I believe it's Lewy body, whereas you might not see that in Alzheimer's disease. But like I said, every patient will be different. And so we have to treat every patient individually. So when we talk about the early stages of dementia, like I said, the cognitive decline, it's pretty mild. And individuals, they can usually still perform most of their daily activities. They don't really need assistance with many things. We simply start to see a little bit of forgetfulness, maybe some confusion is kicking in, and minor changes in behavior and communication. But with nutrition, it's really stable in this period of dementia. The patient might need the occasional reminder to eat or drink, but more often than not, not really. Especially, let's say, if they're in long-term care and they're sitting with other individuals and they're seeing them eating, that usually is enough of a cue that they can figure out, like, okay, it's mealtime, we have to eat now. So what do we do in the early stages of dementia? Well, A, you might not even be aware that they have dementia because there may be no diagnosis at all at this point. So at this point, we're just establishing baseline nutritional status. So you're doing your full nutrition assessment, you're establishing what a usual body weight is, what their typical food and fluid intake is, and you're just tracking this thing. So we're just tracking, let's say, monthly weights. We're maybe browsing their intake quarterly at best. If we're not seeing any significant changes, then to us, they're just a regular patient that we assess quarterly. Now, when we start to move into the middle stages of dementia, so this is stage 3, stage 4, cognitive decline, it starts to be more pronounced. And so we may start to see noticeable memory loss and confusion and behavior challenges happening at this time. And so this is when they start to really start struggling with some daily activities, and they might be requiring more assistance. And so when we want to look at it in terms of common nutrition issues, we typically do start to see a little bit of reduced appetite. There may be a change in taste and smell, and that's not something that we can really predict. If they're able to communicate, then that's fantastic. Usually at this point, they do still have a level of communication, and so they can vocalize. So this is where I really encourage dietitians to develop that know and trust factor with patients with dementia, because that's going to go a long way. You don't just want to show up to a patient with dementia and be peppering them with questions. Sometimes you just want to go in and ask them, how was their meal? This type of thing. And then as time progresses, that's when you can start to ask those a little more, you know, probing questions, such as, do you notice that you're eating a little bit less? Because I've taken note and I see that you are, and I'm starting to see a little bit of weight loss. Is there something about the food that you don't really care for? Does it not smell the greatest to you? And so it's really about establishing that relationship with them where they can talk to you and they can tell you what's wrong. In long-term care, our patients typically, they're not just going to come out and complain about things. Let's say their smell and taste have changed. They're not necessarily just going to come out and say the food's awful, especially in dementia. I rarely see this in dementia patients. And so you may also be noticing, I really recommend go watch them at a mealtime, difficulty using utensils and swallowing issues. And so this is where having something like a meal observation screening form is very useful. And we're going to have one on the membership site. Just so you know, we will have audit forms that are going to be really useful in your practice. So develop that relationship of trust with them, get to know them, and then start asking probing questions and do a meal observation screen. Those are three of the top three things that you can do to monitor a patient with dementia when they hit those middle stages. Because when we start to see that decreased food intake, we're going to start to see the weight loss. We're going to start seeing the increased risk of malnutrition and maybe diagnosing them with malnutrition. Also, when I talk about forgetfulness is in the middle stages of dementia, it's increased risk of dehydration because they may be forgetting to drink. And so they do need that assistance at mealtimes. So some nutrition interventions that we may see in the middle stages of dementia that we did not see in the first stages or early stages is that patients are now, you know, not eating or drinking as much. So when we look at nutrition interventions, well, maybe they need to be sitting at a table where a staff member is that can be giving them that encouragement to, okay, Mrs. Smith, take another bite. Okay, Mrs. Smith, take another drink. And so we're going to start doing those minor interventions to begin with and then progress to more interventions as needed. Because your standard meal plan or nutrition care plan, it might not be effective anymore because of those changing needs and preferences. Now, something that's a little different and obviously going to be very patient specific, and it's going to be very specific also to their diagnoses. So somebody with hypertension, you're probably not going to do an intervention like I'm talking about here. But when I say their taste and smell changes, sometimes something as simple as adding extra salt to their meals can help because the taste sensations may be dulling and so the food just is not as flavorful to them. And so I have seen adding like a salt packet to a meal tray can actually improve. And so after the middle stages, obviously dementia being a progressive disease, they move into the late stages of dementia. So The whole topic that I'm talking about today is why do nutrition interventions stop working? Well, because in dementia, it's progressing. And so those minor interventions that we're adding into the middle stages of dementia, they're going to stop working in the later stages of dementia, especially if we haven't altered the diet texture at all. Dysphagia is incredibly common in late stages of dementia, because swallowing is something that is not just a physical thing, but it is a part of your brain that tells your body, okay, time to swallow. There's food in the mouth, time to swallow. And that part of the brain is affected as dementia progresses. And so let's say in the middle stages of dementia, your nutrition interventions included maybe a softer food diet or just a regular texture diet. And then in the late stages of dementia, we're starting to see, well, Mrs. Smith isn't wanting to eat anymore. Okay, well, let's look at the nutrition interventions that we currently have. And do we need to change these now? So for example, we do a meal observation screen. Maybe Mrs. Smith, they do start to lose a little bit of communication in the late stages. But again, this is going to be highly specific to the individual. And so we want to look at another meal observation screen as it begins to progress. And we want to be looking at, well, is she having trouble chewing and swallowing? Is she holding food in her mouth or pocketing food? Is she spitting it out? Those are indicators that she's having difficulty eating. And so we need to look at implementing nutrition interventions that change that diet texture. And I really recommend get the speech language pathologist involved. They are going to be a fantastic asset in assessing the swallowing, assessing if there is a problem to begin with, and helping to recommend a diet texture. Now, other things that we're going to start to see in the late stages of dementia is obviously there's a severe cognitive decline. There's a lot of memory loss. Communication is difficult, and physical dependence. And so the physical dependence means that they may not understand fully anymore how to use a knife, how to use a fork, how to use a spoon, how to feed themselves, or they don't remember that when they're sitting at a table, they have to lift a spoon to their mouth to eat, those kinds of things. So we want to look at increasing the level of assistance they're getting at meals. So the nutrition interventions that we used before, like I said, in the middle stages, such as just that cueing and encouragement at meals, that nutrition intervention, it's going to stop working because the disease has progressed. And so we need to increase our nutrition interventions in order to address the current nutrition challenges because they progress as well with dementia. Now, in the later stages of dementia, we also have malnutrition and dehydration. These are significant concerns, and they do affect overall health and quality of life because both of these will put your patient at increased susceptibility of infections, pressure ulcers, delayed wound healing if they do have wounds, and so much more. And so when a patient is moving into that from middle to late stages of dementia, I really recommend to dietitians, you should be assessing them at least every month. And I don't necessarily just mean like a full nutrition assessment. I mean, do a meal observation screen. Start looking at their weights every single month. Start looking at their intake every single month. What level of care do we need to be increasing with them? And so when we talk about our high-risk patients, your patients with dementia should automatically be on your high-risk tracker because that means that you're following up with them more frequently than, let's say, a patient that is stable and doesn't necessarily have dementia. So nutrition interventions, they don't necessarily stop working. The current ones you have may need to be changed. They may need to be upgraded. There may need to be more nutrition interventions. Now, there is a point, obviously, with dementia where a patient is declared end of life. And that's different. That's different than when I'm talking about why nutrition interventions stop working. When I say nutrition interventions stop working, I'm talking about your current nutrition interventions are not working and you need to be looking at changing them to nutrition interventions that adapt to the patient's ever-changing abilities. So I hope that that helps. Like I said, dementia is such a massive topic when you're a dietitian, and so I can't really cover everything like I did in this episode. I tried to cover the huge basics. But in our membership site, there's going to be a very long webinar, 30 to 60 minutes. That's what I mean when I say very long, because for ours, that's long. That's going to delve a lot deeper into dementia and managing dementia and all these kind of things with nutrition interventions and the various stages. So if you want more information on dementia and nutrition interventions, then I highly recommend sending me an email about being on the wait list. But I just want to go over just a few quick different strategies for effective interventions for the different stages. So in summary, this is what I'm going to talk about. The early stage interventions, you just want to establish those normal healthy eating habits. You want to ensure that they're aware of when the regular meals are. You want to be assessing them quarterly. You want to be establishing those baselines. So what is their weight? What is their regular intake? What kind of foods do they really enjoy? And what foods to avoid? Because that is going to come in handy as middle and later stage dementia occurs, that you're going to have a list of foods that they like, foods that they really don't like, and you're going to have their nutrition care plan reflect that. When we get to the middle and the middle stage interventions, this is where we're going to be looking at maybe we need to modify the food texture. So whereas maybe in the early stages they were just on a standard diet, in the middle stages maybe they do need a little bit of a texture change. So maybe we're just swapping them to a soft texture diet, or maybe we're looking at mince texture foods. Look at enhancing the flavor. This can address that taste change, the smell change, using more herbs, spices, if they like spices, and salt with meals. You're going to be looking at implementing better snacks, because we may see a little bit of weight loss. We might see some appetite changes. So you might look at implementing oral nutritional supplements, or maybe just a high calorie, high protein snack between lunch and supper or at bedtime. You might look at incorporating some finger foods if they're having a level of difficulty with regular texture foods, or a knife and a fork. We don't always see this in the middle stages of dementia, but sometimes when it's progressing, you may see that they're having difficulty with utensils. And you can go one of two routes. You can either go with wide-handled utensils, which do help to maintain a level of independence, a plate guard that prevents it from slipping all over the table, that can really help with maintaining independence. You can also look at adding some more finger-type foods that they can just pick up with their hands, so they don't have to be using a knife and fork at every single meal. In the middle stages of dementia, we do see them typically able to communicate their wants and needs. So always talk to them about your proposed nutrition interventions. Don't ever just implement something. You want to have a conversation. You want to get them a level of involvement so that they still feel like they have a say in what's going on, because they do, and that's really important. In the late stage interventions, you're really going to be focusing on the nutrient dense foods. You're going to be fortifying foods for them. You're going to be looking at providing high calorie, high protein nutrition supplements, depending on their diagnoses, between meals, not with meals. And you're going to be talking with the families, making sure that they're kept up to date about the interventions that you're proposing. Get their buy-in. Don't just establish nutrition interventions and expect the family just to trust you. No, give them a call, talk to them in person, get their feedback on what you're proposing, what they think will work best for their loved one. So you're also going to be implementing more assistance at meals in the late stages of dementia. You might have somebody that requires full assistance at meals, so where a staff member is helping them eat every single thing. And also continue to do meal observations in late stages of dementia. You can catch a lot by doing nutrition mealtime observations. You can catch maybe something that staff need to improve on, maybe levels of assistance needs to increase, maybe it needs to be improved, where you give a little bit of education on how to help residents eat at meals. So that's just a quick recap of the nutrition interventions that I recommend. And that's all for today. I know this was a bit of a longer episode, and I hope that it was really useful to you. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm always happy to chat with people. Be sure to like and follow the show. That is a free way that really helps to get this podcast in front of more people. The more positive reviews, the more Apple Podcast or Spotify looks at it and sees the positive feedback, and then it'll show it to more people that it's relevant to. Don't forget to sign up for the membership site waitlist. I'm really hoping to get that going pretty quickly, but the waitlist is open. You can find the website at longtermcarerd.com, and in the show description notes, you will find everything that I spoke about today. I hope you have an awesome week and looking forward to talking to you guys again next week.